Praise God forevermore. Good evening, dear saints. Trust you've had a lovely day, lovely week, and a good Saturday. We're trusting God that we're going to have a good time as well this evening, as we have had that as well, I believe, all across the week. As much as possible, avoid all forms of distractions and ensure that you're ready to receive God's word this evening. We'll just, you know, wrap up a few things today. And see how far we can go again tomorrow physically. So as much as possible, ensure that you avoid all forms of distractions as we fellowship in the word. Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Well, let's go all the way to Mark's Gospel 16. Let's try to wrap up today's teaching. Mark's Gospel 16. Mark 16. And go all the way to verse 15. And let's just see a few things there. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. So it says, and Jesus came and said unto them, or he said unto them, saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He now says that this, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs in verse 17 shall follow them that believe. Right, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Altogether, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Now, emphasis in this series has been faith and healing, and we've looked at this scripture, particularly the word signs, to pay attention to a few things. Now, backtrack a little, and from day one, we started looking at the concept of faithfulness and how faithfulness is seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's how a believer ought to place, or where a believer needs to place his emphasis on when he's saying God is faithful. So when you say God is faithful, look through the resurrection, right, and you see that in time, in past time, in present time, in the future time, God's faithfulness remains the same because he said it and he did it. Altogether, right? All promises in Christ are yea and amen, like Paul was saying in Corinthians, right? So completed, complete, fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So we see God is faithful. Went further today to start looking at the use of Bible interpretation or the need for Bible interpretation as a believer to be able to interpret certain things in scripture. Start looking at the concept of the use of the word zoe, right? And we said the word zoe as itself. Now, why did I use that particular day to pay attention to that word? Not because of any other thing else other than the fact that, you know, if you don't have a proper understanding of God's word, it has a way of hampering or tampering with how you receive or what your ideology and expectation would be and should be, right? So we said that, you know, we see believers have confessions talking about how they have the life of the Zoe life. And, you know, and we said that the use of Zoe in scripture is just a borrowed, you know, word that is used to communicate life, and it doesn't mean outrightly the life of God. So when you say Zoe life, you just spoke about life in two different languages. Altogether, when you talk about agape love, you just spoke about love in two different languages or two different concepts, so to say. But the love of God is not necessarily what you call the agape love. However, agape is a word used to describe the love of God. Zoe is a word used to describe, you know, the life of God. So a believer can have Zoe, an unbeliever has Zoe, because Zoe just really means life. We looked at certain examples in scriptures to see how the word Zoe was used, right? So if Zoe is going to be used for eternal life, it means it should either have a context or have a preceding word, which is Inos, eternal, everlasting life. Now, went on to do all the way to day three, started paying attention to Bible interpretation as well, said a few things around the use of signs, right? We said the word signs is something that it should be seen as a pointer. Went through scriptures to look at how, you know, signs were used in scriptures, and looked at how the word signs is used, and what signs and wonders really means, right? We paid attention to that, you know, two days ago on day three. Then day four as well, we took it a step further, you know, I spoke about a few things in that light as well, and started looking at some examples as well in scriptures. pictures and how sickness was used as a parable in the book of Isaiah, right? And how, you know, the parable for sickness in the real sense, or sickness used as a parable, we speak about sin in the real sense, or, you know, or what you call unbelief. It can be unbelief, it can be, you know, the repercussion of, you know, what people will get for unbelief and all of that. So we looked at Isaiah fundamentally to communicate that, right? So we looked through that and paid attention to how Isaiah 53 in the real sense, by stripes we are healed fundamentally. We were speaking about the reconciliation. That's why the next verse says, all we are sheep who have gone astray have returned back to the shepherd of our souls. Our together, then we use that particular example to show that even though that might speak about reconciliation, there's such a thing called restoration of health, and that will be a sign. So it means that sign will be found in the resurrection. Signs and wonders, the ability to heal will be found in the resurrection, right? So a believer can be healed. So we also said something particular. It's God's will that his temple becomes the house of prayer for all nations, all people, right? So it means that if God wants everybody to be saved, it means that God wants everybody to be healed. You know, we have different schools of thought that have different, you know, dichotomy with, and disparity within regarding the concept of who is saved and who will be saved. We have the Calvinism, for instance. You know, we have, you know, direct opposites, you know, that can be referred to as Arminianism, you know, where people just, you know, where people have a school of thought that believes that, you know, people are predestinated to, you know, be saved, right? And, you know, there's another school of thought that believes that there are certain people that have the ability to, you know, accept salvation, you know, but God already foreknows. So, you know, there's a predestination part of it. You know, that's a fundamental, you know, like I said, we're going to talk about these things in the days to come, you know, but that's a fundamental part of that, where you see, the concept of people having an ideology of, you know, God predestinates those to be saved, and there is that God foreknows those who will be saved. So that's just one of those two wings, you know. So as we went further in scriptures a few days ago, just to understand and explain how God wants everybody to be saved, right? Everybody is to be saved under God's vision. It's God's will and plan that all men are saved that come to the knowledge of his truth. Altogether, that's Paul to Timothy. Altogether, so we look through that, and it means that if everyone is going to be saved, right? If God wants everyone to be saved, it means God wants everyone to be healed. So it means that in your theology, in your subconscious, you need to ensure that you ascertain. Remember, I was looking at imaginations and pulling down strongholds yesterday, right? You know, you need to ascertain to yourself, right? Reassure yourself of God's slant when it comes to sicknesses or when it comes to healing. What does God want? God wants man to be healed. Are we together, right? That must be something you are. Agree. You must agree with it in your heart. Agree with it in yourself. Agree with it in your subconscious, even in your conscious, right? So when God steps into illnesses and steps into diseases, what is his will? I want to get that it is that you are healed. Yeah, his will is not to allow that to remain in your body. I want to get that so that he can teach you a lesson. I want to get that so that you can learn humility or you can learn patience. No, God will not use sicknesses. I want to get that. The Bible says how God anointed Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. Right, doing good is God's deal, right? We're all together when it comes to sickness. Who went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed? Are we together, right? So, healing them that were oppressed, oppressed of who? God cannot be trying to heal the people that he's trying to oppress. Yeah, so it means that the oppression will come from the oppression of the devil. So it was healing those or delivering those that were oppressed or setting people free from the captivity of the devil. God cannot be setting man free from his captivity. I want to get that. Of what point does it make, right? When God tries to hold people in bondage, hold people in captivity, just so that he can set them free. I want to get that. To prove what point? Imagine you want to prove to your mom that you're a good sweeper and you pick a bag of rice, a 50 kg bag of rice, and you scatter it all over the house. Altogether, you scatter it in all the nooks and crannies of your house, and just to ensure that you now carry broom and start sweeping. And they ask you, "What are you trying to do?" You see, you're trying to prove to your mom that of the truth. You know how to sweep. That's what some of us agree and believe in our theology, right? That God wants to prove that he heals sicknesses, and what he does is that he gives man sicknesses to prove. Altogether, you know, just for our time, I won't go there, but you see, there's an example like that when there was a man who was born blind, right? And disciples reached out to Jesus and asked and said, why did this man get blind? Why is he born blind? I went together, right? Jesus' response was saying, for the works of God to be manifest. Now, some of us in our theology, what we get from there is that God allowed him to be born blind, or God made him blind so that God will manifest his healing power through that man. No, that's not what he was teaching, right? He was just saying that scenario is an example or an experience where God's power can be made manifested. They were asking asking Jesus, who sinned? Was it this guy that sinned? Was it his father that sinned? Are we together, right? Why would he be born blind? He was not born, and yet he could not have committed any sins. So why did he born? Was he born blind? So you see that Jesus will just, in that theology, in that answer, he will give a theological answer to show that, well, your mind should not really be on who sinned or who did not sin. Sickness will be, you know, an effect and a repercussion, an action or something that is of the devil. So it means that God's will is for man to be delivered. So when he says go into the world and preach the gospel, and he says this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. You can't be casting down devils that God placed in a man or placed in people. He says they shall speak with new tongues. He says they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So why is God giving man sick? So I'm saying, in your theology, first agree and accept that any ailment, any sickness in your body is not of God. I would get that. Now, what you should do again is see, even if in your subconscious you think for some reason, I ended yesterday on a very high note, and I said that, right, it takes a lot of, you know, very interestingness to create YouTube pages or Instagram pages or blog pages to be showing people who are fake miracle workers, or showing people who are fake miracle workers. Let it be that who does that is someone who is an unbeliever. But you are a believer. That should not be what you pay attention to. See, let it not be that it's the day you need healing, you are now start trying to look for how true healing can be. Why? Because all the days where you were well and doing fine, you fed your heart and your mind with stories of people who do and perform fake miracles. And we're together, right? You see, the devil always plays a long game. Yeah, a day will come, you might need healing for yourself. You might need healing for your relative. That's why I tell you, right? Don't let it be the day you are now trapped in the hospital when you are on bed rest and you are asked to be monitored. That's the day you now know how to start listening to messages to build your faith. That's the day you know how to go and pack, you know, DVD player, cassette player, to go and listen to men of old and full of faith to build your faith. No, let it be something that's a practical lifestyle that you have continuously. Altogether, you see, let's assume that somewhere in your mind you've gone that far to not believe that miracles still happen today. Well, stick to the scriptures. Stick to the scriptures. The examples in the scriptures. I love that song so much by Saints Community, right? The God of the scriptures is still the same. Altogether, he still heals today. Assume in your mind that your mind has been so perverted with the terrible things that the internet and the social media space has communicated. That's fine, but there's restoration for you. You can still pick up something. Let's stick with the scriptures. Yeah, you see diverse signs and working of miracles in the scriptures. Altogether, right? You see them right from the page. You see an example of Aaron and Miriam, for instance, that will have leprosy, and Moses will pray for them, and their leprosy will go. Altogether, you see example. Let's look at two examples today, right? Let's look at Elijah and Elisha quickly. Let's look at Elijah and Elisha. Go quickly to Kings, 1 Kings 17. Altogether, 1 Kings 17. What is a miracle? What is a healing? A miracle healing is a sign to show that there's a message that should be believed. What is the fundamental message? That God wants to reconcile man back to himself. That God, that we who were once afar off, we have now returned back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. We are now citizens of heaven. We have now been brought into his kingdom, his Mount Zion, his holy nation, his holy nation. Are we together? In that holy nation, what is made available? Healing is made available as a sign as to where you are, or a sign or a pointer to where you are. Very, very important. Very, very important. You get the point. So don't miss out on that. So look at 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 7. Go to 1 Kings 7 and go all the way to verse... look at 1 Kings 7 verse... look at 1 Kings 7 and go all the way to verse... look at 1 Kings 7, verse 20. It's 1 Kings 17, I'm sorry. I was just wondering, I didn't see what I'm looking for. 1 Kings 17, verse 22. Look at verse 17, 1 Kings 17, 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And her sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in her. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Are we together? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. So can you see supernatural encounters happening? You know, I heard of a story, for instance, of a woman who, you know, I think she was going through one, I think she was barren for years, right? And one of the days she just found out that, I think a man, Pastor Adeboye, was living in the room or was staying in a hotel or something. And she tried to ensure that as soon as he checked out of the room, she paid for a check-in into that room to stay in that exact room altogether. And at that time of life, the next year from that moment, she had a child, someone who has been buried for, I think it was 15 or probably 20 years altogether, right? So can you see, and there's something like that happening in our life today, and there's something like that happened in scripture. I'm saying, if for instance what I just said to you right now about Pastor Adeboye, it doesn't make sense to you, and the reason it doesn't make sense to you is definitely because you've spoiled your mind altogether with these numerous devilish, satanic, ungodly things that have been communicated in social media space. I'm trying to say, let's now show you some of the examples. At least you're a believer. You also should believe that the word of God should have the final authority over your lives, and your life rather, and the word of God should not be a fiction to you altogether. Now, you see, why do I teach the way I teach? Using examples in our... So, you see, I have three fundamental ways that, you know, we give examples as a local church, right? I use, for instance, examples in scriptures, which are primary. Then we use examples of men of faith, men of old, our elders in the faith, you know, and pastors as well, who are, and God's men who God is using around the world. Then we use our examples practically in the local church altogether. So I'm saying, so there's the Bible example of Elijah taking a child of a woman to the bed he laid to have contact with where he has slept, right? I'm saying there's another example of another woman, right, who has been barren for years altogether. They went to go and stay in the room of a man like that as she got pregnant, and that way. And I'm saying to you, we've had an example in our local church of the seat where I sit on, right? Someone lay hands on the seat where I sit on. I was not aware until the miracle happened altogether. Right, and clot was dried up, clot gave way instantly. That the report of something that was supposed to, you know, cause or lead to a surgery, you know, was taken care of by just laying hands on where I sat. So you see three examples. So let's assume you don't believe mine. Let's assume you don't believe the previous one before mine. Yeah, look at the Bible. It says, and Elijah, what have I to do with this? And he said, give me thy son, in verse 19. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this woman which I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. Altogether, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. So, you know, I jumped into the middle of a thought in verse 17. What can you get from verse 22? It means the child in context was a dead child. Altogether, the child in context was a child. You know, I've given the example of a man, Archbishop Benson Idausa, right? When he just read scriptures, the things we're talking about, right? And he just said, God said he has given us power to heal altogether and to raise the dead, right? And the story I heard was that he picked his bicycle and started roaming around the city. Altogether, I think the city of Benin, right? Going from house to house, yeah? You know, sometimes when I even listen to the story, it sounds very funny. Like, I always tell you, these stories, I read them, I hear them. I was not there, right? I'm using it to admonish you. If you pick it, fine, right? If you don't pick it, okay, right? But let's pick the one from scriptures, right? So I heard of the story that he went to the first house, right? And he was looking for people who had been dead for days, certified dead. I don't know how detailed, you know, the person who was, one of the stories I heard from was, he went to the first time and they said this one was dead, but he just died a few hours ago. I don't know how that worked, you know, but I'm saying that he had that experience and went from house to house until he found a proper dead person and brought the person back to life. Altogether, yeah. So Elijah in the real sense, you know, he will see the woman, a child of a woman, and he will say, give him to me. And he took her to, he took him to the room and laid him on the bed where he had laid. Altogether, right? So when a pastor does that today, for instance, you say they are deceiving you. Well, let's stick with the Bible. So now why can these examples repeat itself today and much more? Because the God of the scripture is still the same. Altogether, the God of the scriptures is still the same, right? The God of scripture. So if he can heal before, he can heal today. Altogether, if he can heal before. See, when you are a believer, who you find yourself in a situation where you doubt the healing, miraculous power of God, you are becoming worldly. Yeah, you are becoming, listen to me carefully, right? When, if you are a believer and you get to a point in your life where you doubt the miraculous, I went together, you have become worldly, you are becoming worldly. I went together, and it says from place, from clap, you enter dance. It means that you are not feeding your mind appropriately with worldly things from the world. You are probably feeding your mind with what you think is worthy from the world. You are feeding your mind with worldly things. You can only get to that point because, see, you are a product of what you eat. I went together. Yeah. When, you know, I always tell you, when I see you act in situations, it just reveals. I'm saying, you know, I relate to people sometimes and I see when they are faking. I know when they are acting. I know when they are pretending to be the joyful in the world. I know it's clear. You might not know. Yeah. But it's clear. Right. I'm saying, but I've also seen people that in the midst of a hard tribulation, they stay joyful. And so that's to show you they are feeding well. You get the point. They are eating well. So if you're somebody who at every single point in time you are agitated, you are scared, you are fearful, you are not feeling well. Yeah. So it's possible the food is made available on the table, but you are not eating it. Are we together? Yeah. It's possible you are in a local church where the word is being taught, but you are not receiving the word as it should be. Are we together? So it's very important for you to know where you are. So I'm saying this thing so you know where to gauge yourself. I'm saying no matter what happens to you, yeah, you know, I can use myself as an example because I've gone through ridiculous things. Are we together? I've gone through ridiculous things. Some of them you all don't know about. Some of them you've heard a little about them. Are we together? Right? I've gone through extreme difficult things. But guess what? Yeah, the way you see me just before those things is the same way you see me just after those things, and the same way you see me up until today. Doesn't mean I don't go through pain. Doesn't mean I don't have times when I feel sad. Or I don't have times where it gets to me. No, that's not the truth. But I'm saying, regardless of that, I don't stay in that. And the reason I don't stay in that, because I know I feel well. I went together, right? I know I feel well. Yeah, some of you don't know a lot of things that will, you know, I would face daily in, day out, day in. And that's to make you, and you cannot point to a day where I'm downcast because of what I went through. No. Altogether, that should tell you I'm feeling right. And it's not far-fetched. Yeah, you cannot compare somebody, right, who in a week, right, there's no week I don't listen to God's word for anything less than 10 to most, more often than not, 15, 20 hours in a week. An average of 15, 20 hours in a week, every week. I'm not talking about listening to God's word because I want, that's different from my preparation time for my teaching, though. Are we together, right? An average of 15, 20 hours in a week. You can't. Now, I have people, I know people as well, who are doing 30, 40 hours in a week. you can't compare me to them. And you can't compare yourself listening to gospel for 30 minutes in a week to someone doing it for 30 hours in a week. Right? So, am I striving to be better? Yes. I've not gotten to perfection. I look forward to doing 20, 30 hours in the next year. I look forward to doing 40 hours in the next year. Altogether, I look forward to having myself marinated in God's word every single time. Are we together, right? So it's a mindset you need to have to be intentional about it. So when you find yourself in situations, you know, I always tell you, if you are one listening to me, right, yeah, and you have a pain in your head, the first thing you do is check ChatGPT. You are worldly. Are we together? You are worldly. Yeah? Yeah, you are worldly. Yeah? If you are someone who, for instance, you listen to me and you feel some strange pain at different parts of the body, because I always tell you, there is no time you ask ChatGPT for symptoms that they will not give you possible ailments that are linked to that thing. Not once. There's no time to ask ChatGPT. I feel a pain in my right side of my head. I went together. And it looks like my left fingers or my right fingers are numb. What does it mean? They will tell you it's stroke. They will tell you there are traces of stroke. They will tell you it's predisposed this. Yeah. There's no time they will tell you that's a sign to show that millions of dollars are coming to your account. You get the point. All together. And there was no time they will tell you and show you that God's power is working in your body. So why don't you stop being worldly and be worldly, right? Worldly and worldly, right? You're full of the word and not full of the world. Altogether, right? Some of you know all the symptoms of every single thing. Let me say this to you as parents. You know, there's something called milestones. People usually keep track of their children and all those things. And I think I've heard it a lot of times from several people around me. But you see, don't derive your joy from trying to get yourself in WhatsApp group or groups of different communities of different women where you are trying to hear, you know, similar things that your children or your child is going through just to encourage yourself. What about the word? What about the word? You know, some of you, you've had prophecies and words gone ahead of the children you gave birth to. What about going back to those words? Yeah, you feel like your child is not doing something that you think they should do at age 5 years or 2 years or 3 months or 2 months. Are we together? And you begin to get downcast. Are we together, right? Then you only begin to get, instead of rejoicing, the moment you just join a community of people who are just diverse, people with diverse ideologies and cultures and whatever it is. Are we together? Then when you now see somebody now say, oh, this is what my child is going to do, they say, ah, thank you, Jesus. Are you kidding me? Thank you, Jesus. Why didn't you go to the Word? Are we together? Why didn't you go back to the words of prophecy? Are we together, right? Yeah, so that's the only way you build faith. That's the only way you build faith. I don't look forward to having a milestone check. Because I know the words that have been spoken over my children. I went together, right? You know, it sounds funny. But, you know, the reason I talk this way is to show you how practical this Christian faith can be. I went together. It's just, your child can be having a running temperature right now. Yes? Why am I saying it this way? Because sometimes we find it difficult to receive healing for ourselves without having learning to practice healing on others. That's the way it is. I've noticed that over time. I'm saying it's easier for you to say you want to lay hands on somebody else than lay hands on yourself. So an easier person for you as a mother, as a father, as your child. Are we together? You know, I told you, I grew up in a family. And you know, because sometimes you have money, you have what you call HMO insurance, or you have, you know, different factors, you know, that's what makes you always want to feel like you can go through, you know, and go through the worldly perspective before the Word of God. Altogether, I grew up in a home where we didn't have money. Altogether, evidently, we didn't have money. Yeah, we didn't have money. Yeah, you know, some of us don't know what we call napkin. I grew up using napkin. Oh my, napkin is a piece of clothing that is used to wrap a baby such that when the baby wheezes or pulls, they use hand to wash it. That's how I grew up. You get the point? Yeah, so that means my parents could not afford diapers. You get the point? Yeah. So I also grew up in an environment where medicine was something that was expensive for my family. You get the point? Yeah. So I heard of the story my mom usually would say, right? You know, I always tell you, yeah, most of the times when my mom was pregnant, we were supposed to be born, myself, my siblings were supposed to be born, my dad was found coincidentally one way or the other on Retreat Mountains, right? And my mom would always tell me, right, that anytime my temperature would rise when I'm not feeling too fine, right, there's a particular singlet my dad wore on a mountain. And she went, as soon as he came back, she went to go and pack it, fold it, and kept it somewhere. Are we together, right? And any time my temperature would rise as a kid, yeah, there was no Google there. There was no internet there. Are we together, right? There are people who live supernatural lives with their kids and they grew up to be successfully strong, healthy people without having ChatGPT. Don't get the world. Don't allow the world to get you. Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. No, I'm speaking hard to you all as believers, except I don't pastor you. But take this as me giving you instructions from a place of love. Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. Don't be a Google Christian. No, don't be that way. Or my temperature rises high and it looks like something is happening wrong with me, there's a cloth she picks and she lays on my body. And once she lays on my body, my temperature becomes back to normal. Are we together? Yeah, you don't say, you are so irresponsible. Well, look at the person that's irresponsible talking to you years after. Yeah, the product of irresponsibility is speaking to you years after. Don't be that person who is always looking for what the social media. You know, I always emphasize this thing. I know the impact. A few years ago, I found out that I started almost doubting the miraculous. Let me not say doubting. I was more reserved in, you know, praying for the sick. And I had to do a check for myself. I'm talking about some 7-8 years ago. I said, what is wrong? I found out, yeah, I listened to lots of comedy. I watched lots of comedy that mocked the miraculous. I watched lots of, you know, episodes of, you know, what you call podcasts that mock the miraculous. Let me tell you, not every podcast is for you. Are you here? Not every podcast is for you. Not every talk online is for you. Guard your heart. May it not be the day you need healing for yourself or your family members that you start looking for how to pump yourself with the Word. Altogether, a lot of times, at that phase, is already becoming late to use your faith or to build your faith. A lot of times. Are we together, right? So ensure you are intentional about building your faith from now, right? You feel a strange pain in your body, lay your hands. You have a wife, you have a husband. Ask them to lay hands on you in faith. Are we together? Let it be that even as you are on your way to the hospital or the ambulance has come to the house to pick you, hands have been laid on you, words are still being spoken. Altogether, yeah, why should you believe in the miraculous? Because this Christian faith is a miraculous faith or miraculous religion. Yet you are only a Christian because of the greatest miracle that you believed in, the miracle of the resurrection. And in that miracle is the womb of many, many more miracles. Altogether, many, many more miracles. You know, yesterday we had a slightly different type of meeting, right? Where I gave some information around certain people and certain sicknesses. Interestingly, I just had some of you, a lot of you, you know, reach out to me in your numbers and talking about instant healing and everything. You know, and to me, I'm not as shocked. Yeah, why? Because I've been teaching you about faith in the last few days. I've set your heart in the tone to receive of God in the last few days. I went together and I've practiced what I've been teaching you in the last few days. I went together, right? So in the real sense, I've said the word. Yeah, you're reaching out to me to validate what I said, right? As proof of you are healed, to encourage me is not as much important to me. What encourages me is that I'm bold enough to act on the word. This sign shall follow them. They shall lay hands out together, right? This sign shall follow them. Yeah, so that's my encouragement. Out together. Is it beautiful to hear that? Beautiful, great, lovely, 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 lovely. I've been reading so many emails chats and messages since yesterday. That's the truth. I went together, right? I'm not talking, there are those progressive, there are those instant, there are those that have gotten instant, we've seen all that. But that's not what is encouraging me. What is encouraging me is that God's word says it and I believe it. I went together. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That should be your slant towards your life. Altogether. You've had a child. You have a child, for instance. Altogether, and words of prophecy went ahead on the naming. Altogether, and hands have been laid on the child. Altogether, right? Don't get yourself demoralized. Don't get yourself trying to encourage yourself because of what you say. I just want to ask you. My child is behaving this way. I want to know if it's the normal thing. I don't look forward to that. No matter what you say, there were people in generations before us, without as much information as we have today, and they lived and brought up supernatural children supernatural way. Oh, happy are you for you to find yourself in a generation like this with good knowledge, beautiful knowledge, but yet you live a supernatural life. How did I get there? That's prophetic. I hope you listen to that. Well, so he says that, stretched himself upon the child in verse 21 three times and cried unto the Lord. I said, "Oh Lord, I pray thee, let this child soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him, and he revived. Look at 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him alive, up together, unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said unto Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God." I'm saying, let's assume that case did not happen that way. That does not make Elijah a non-man of God. Altogether, why? Because we understand God's faithfulness from the resurrection, from what he will do. Altogether. But this raising of the dead will be a sign, a pointer. Altogether. And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is the truth. Altogether. So the same way Jesus, you know, the same way Elijah raised the dead. Let me give you another example. Go to Mark 5. Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. Maybe that's what I will name this teaching. No, don't be a ChatGPT Christian. Use your ChatGPT for your office. Use it for your career. Use it for your messages and happy birthday messages to your wife, to your husband, to your partner, to your boss, to your whatever. Yeah, yeah. But when it comes to your health, don't rush there first. Don't go there first. Don't go there first. Altogether, don't go there first. Yeah, ChatGPT has been around for a couple years. But you know the funny thing? The first time I paid attention to this was, I was catching up with a colleague, I think in December last year, right? And she just said in passing, right, that she used to do feedback. So in my company, you ask people for feedback and people can ask you for feedback. So because she doesn't have the time, right, what she does is she just writes a few things on ChatGPT, right? And she, you know, just mention what she wants the feedback to be like. Right, so what she said to me was like a rhema. She was like, "You don't know ChatGPT." I said, "I've heard about it. I've never opened an account to use it." I was like, "Where are you in this generation?" I'm like, "Oh well, I don't know." So from that moment, I picked that's important information. Is that correct? I've given you for free. Yeah. So I picked it, right, and I tried it for a feedback for someone. I was like, "So excellent." Right, then I put a little touch of Joshua in it. I went together. Yeah, so I told another friend of mine, right? Probably might be listening to this teaching, right? And he said, "Where have you been all this while? That's what life makes life easy." And I'm like, "Oh, beautiful. Even till then, till now, I've never for once felt, when this is happening, what does it? I've not tried it for once. The best I've used it to do is to compose message. I go together, compose message for feedback, for thank you message to colleague for the gift they gave you. I think I did that a few days ago. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But I'm not somebody who opens and writes everything. I'm not saying if you are one who does that, don't make use of the knowledge available in the world. No. I'm saying when it comes to things, right, that can tamper with your faith, put some things on the back seat. Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. Mark 5. Look at 37. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of synagogue house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Right? And he cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? And the damsel is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed him to scorn. That means they mocked him. But when he had, so what's that? That's unbelief and an expression of dishonor, right? So, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother out of the damsel. Why father and mother? More often than not, only the father and the mother, would you be sure of as those that are wanting their child to come back to life. More often than not. Listen to what I said. More often than not. Yeah, not always. I would get, right? So he says, "Come, father, come, mother." He went in with Peter, James, and John. Altogether. "And entered in where the damsel was lying." And look at verse 41. "And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said, 'Talita kumi,' which is being interpreted, 'Damsel, I say unto thee, arise.'" Do you think Jesus also walked out, read about how Elijah rose the dead? Yes, now. Yes, now. Yeah, what did Elijah do? Elijah took the lady, the boy, into a private space and only allowed faith to be in that environment. Are we together? Yeah, but in that, you see that Elijah did it. Jesus did it. Men of our generation did it. Listen to me carefully, right? So I've read it in Elijah. I've read it in Jesus, right? Yeah, I have practiced it, gone into the mortuary, right? And there was no response. Yeah, but I came out of the mortuary judging God faithful. Yeah, because the faithfulness of God is hinged on the resurrection, not the signs and the wonders. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, so Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." That's what Jesus said. "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." And what happened? And straight away, the damsel arose and she walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. That means Jesus raised the daughter of a man and Elijah raised the son of a woman. And they were astonished with the great astonishment, and he charged them straight that what? No man should know it, right? And he commanded that something should be given to her to eat before she goes back to where she's coming from. I was together. So, Elijah did it. Jesus did it. Now, you know, you can say, "Oh, Elijah, Jesus. What about the man, Peter, who did it?" Peter did it as well. Are we together? Peter was teaching. A man fell from the roofside. Are we together? And what happened? Eutychus fell down. He was sleeping off. He dozed off. And he fell down and what? He died. And what happened? Peter went there, laid his hands on the guy, and he brought him back to life. And what did he say? Give him food. Where do you think he saw the example? Mark 5. He went to the house where Talitha was, right? And he saw that Jesus is, you know, that's why the local church and having a pastor and having a leader who you look up to, who you watch, is very important. Because the mode, you know, if you trace how I minister, right? You can, it's not from the blues. It's from somewhere. I saw it somewhere. Are we together? Now, it is actually not me learning those modes of ministering, but there are things you pick up by being around. Are we together? So Peter saw it. Peter picked it. And when he saw that he raised it, it comes back to life. The first thing he said, "Please give him food, give him water." What did Jesus do? Give him food, give him water. Who was there? Peter, James, and John. Are you with me today? Praise God forever. Glory to God forever. Right? So the woman came back to life. So Elijah was one who raised the boy back to life. Jesus did the same. Peter did the same. You can do the same. Are we together? You can do the same. You know, I always tell you, let it be that the worst situation, the worst case scenario finds you in faith. You can't meet me out of faith. You can't. You won't meet me out of faith. You won't. You won't. You won't meet me out of faith. No matter what it is, God's power is working. God's power is working. I would get that. You know, it was one of you who pointed my attention to something. You know, I didn't know that I used to say no shaking. I was together, right? It was one of you who actually pointed my attention and said that, oh, Pastor, you're always saying no shaking. And that's the truth. No shaking. No shaking. We're there. We're there. No matter what you say to me, no matter, I've told you, there are services I've come to preach in and I've lost thousands of dollars. And I mean dollars, US dollars. Are we together? Not any other dollars. I hope you get that. Yeah? United States dollars. Thousands. Right? Just before preaching. Yeah, no shaking. We're there. We're there. Yeah? I don't get there by... It's not, what I'm saying to you is not drama. It's not drama. Yeah? I only get there by feeding right. You can also be that way. Feed well. Feed right. Yeah? Feed well. Feed right. Feed well. Feed right. Altogether, I remember someone was speaking to me about something very, 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 you know, deadly recently, right? And as person said something, and so it was a video conversation, just said something. I just like, oh, really? Wow. You know, and the person was like, oh, you didn't, that everybody, you know, she had said it to, she's an American, right? Everybody she had said it to, you know, she was, this was actually a few days ago, really. You know, everybody she had said it to really, you know, did and like, oh, okay, oh, really? Oh, wow, interesting, right? Oh, well, we can trust God for God's power if that's what you want, and we'll just pray about it. Altogether, yeah? That's their approach to life. When the storm rages and you are fidgeting, it means you've not fed well. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the storm will rage. If the storm, you know, the storm did not have respect for Jesus. He didn't say, Jesus on that boat, let me change my direction. No, the storm was raging, but guess what? Jesus was stable in peace. Altogether. Yeah? Whose eyes is stayed on him, he keeps him in perfect peace. Altogether. There's a peace you have. You can only get there by feeding on the word. Altogether. Feeding on the word. Staying with the word. Praise God forevermore. Look at Elisha. 2 Kings 2:21. Go back to 2 Kings. Stay with the word, my dear saints. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. You know, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome will say, if you stay with the word and stick with the word, you will come back with a testimony. I started hearing that from 20 years ago. And we're together, right? Yeah, stay with the word. Stick with the word. You will always come back with a testimony. There is no time you don't have a testimony when you stay with the word. Not once. Not once. Altogether. Not once. You will come back with a testimony. Stay with the word. Yeah, what I just said to you would only make sense to you if you've listened to me from day one. Yeah, look at 2 Kings 2 verse 21. 2 Kings 2 21. Praise God forevermore. 2 Kings 2 21. I believe and trust, you know, that, you know, this meeting will not just create in you healings and, you know, sicknesses getting out of your body, but also create in you a desire to want to get the sick healed. Are we together? Desire to want to get the sick healed. I remember when we did this seminar 2021, right? We all went to the street, as you know, today was Saturday, actually. Interesting. This is probably some five, six years ago. Right? And we finished the seminar like this. It lasted Friday all through to Saturday. Then Saturday evening at about 5 p.m. we went to the street and we had string. There were people, I don't know if some of you remember, right? I can't remember the details of the story, but there was somebody who prayed for a Muslim whose brother was in maybe Kaduna or Kano or something and maybe could not walk for days or something. And right on the phone call, they had a miracle for the person by proxy. Yeah? Yeah, so it means, see, these are things that can happen to you because you're a believer. I didn't say I went there and prayed. We finished teaching faith like this, faith and healing seminar. Yeah, in fact, so this one, I'm going to see your Bible with a nose dive into faith and healing. But that was a faith and healing seminar. I think that's 2021, right? And in the real sense, we just spoke about, you know, by stripes we are healed, spoke about the healing power of God and how healing can be made available. And we had people going through the street. I had, like I said, a friend of mine asked me, we need to start documenting these things, right? But remember, we got back to church. For some of you who were around, got back to church and started listening to strange healings that happen on the street through the workings of our hands as believers. And we're together, right? We just distributed ourselves in pairs and went to the streets and started getting people healed. Praise God forevermore. All together. Why can that happen? Because it's in the scriptures. Look at 2 Kings 2:21. We saw this in the healing culture series we're doing, right? And it went forth, verse 21 and 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new cross, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more dead or barren land. So the same way that God used Elijah, or Elisha used the power of God to heal water, is the same way that you can use God's power to provide healing and change situations in seemingly impossible, difficult things. I heard of a prophet. I was listening to a person of a prophet. I think Prophet Omolein or something. I think that's the name, yeah? Right? And it was talking about how in school, he was doing a project, maybe himself. I can't remember the details of that story. He was doing a project. And all of a sudden, the chickens he was going to use, right, for his project, all of them just started dying one by one. And one day, full of the power and the Holy Ghost, he went there and started laying hands on chicken and telling him back to life. See, that's your business. Either you believe it or not. Yeah. Okay, look at an example. Yeah. Is water a living thing? Huh? Is water a living thing? Yeah. How can you say the power of God can raise chicken? Have you seen things? Yeah. I know somebody who raised a dog back to life. Have you seen things? Yeah. But you know, when you start doubting it, it's because they've programmed your mind and the devil is working on you. The devil is working on using things that seem to be logical. Eh? Ha, dead has not finished rising. Woman being dead has not finished rising. See, I risen dog. I don't know that one. Look at water now. He said, look at, he supplied something. Are we together? And in that miracle, something happened to the water. And we saw a miraculous change in that water. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Look at, Second Kings 4:17. Elisha again. Look at 2 Kings 4. Let's read all the way to 5, from verse 8 downwards. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem altogether, where was a great woman, right? A Shunammite, right? And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. What happened? She saw something. And she acts in honor. He says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. That's hospitality. Are we together? Right? Honorable. Are we together? So she was honorable. She decided to want to act honorable to God's servant. Are we together? And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite for me. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? That means, what do you want? Name it. You know how we view, oh, gracious Father. You know that scripture, I've taught you in scripture, Psalms 2, right? Yeah, today is your birthday, what do you want? Name it. Nations are, you know, we've taught that scripture. But don't use an extreme to tackle another extreme. You see, God's servants can look at you and say, you've done this extent of honor. What do you want today? Altogether, what do you want today? I remember a man, Pastor David Ibiomi, right? He said he did something to his spiritual father, Pastor David Oedipo, right? And the man just said, from today, what do you want? And he just mentioned it. And from that day till today, altogether, those are templates that happen in our real life. They happened in scriptures. Elijah, I told you something. I was a friend of mine, blessed brother of mine, Simon, right, reached out to me, right, and we're just talking, and we're just having a conversation about, you know, how does this seed concept, seed sowing work? And I said to him, right, and I've taught it several in the Honor Culture. Those of you in Nigeria, go pick the teachings of Christianity and Honor Culture and try to catch up on them, right? And I said, see, we have bastardized seed sowing as a concept. I agree. But you see, there's a thing called an expression of honor with giving. And there's a way you will act towards a God servant, and the person will feel so hot, is in the Bible. He will feel so honored and honorable. Are we together? And in how he feels, he will say a word that will be said over your life, and it will be just like that. Just like that. Yeah. So what in the real sense is working? Is your faith with your honor and the words of the man. altogether. What is the conduit by which you use to express your honor? Is the money you gave that you call seed sowing. So have you seen people who said they've sown seed into people's lives and something happened in their business, their finance, and it happened? Yes, so it does happen. No, why can it happen? Elisha is an example in scriptures. Look at that again. The man felt honored. Like, see how these people have cared for me. Go and call the woman for me. Go and call her for me. And she looked at her and said, what do you want? Look at me and tell me, what do you want? You see, your pastor can be so honored such that he feels like he is so honored. He knows he is so honored. And he will look at you and say, Kai, because of this. See, that's what we want to get from Pastor Shegun when he comes. You get the point, right? Yeah. We want him to feel so honored. I would get that such that he will say, of a truth. What do you want? Praise God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. These are structures in the scriptures. So a lot of times, where the problem is that we attach a lot of, you know, emphasis on the conduit of the honor. For instance, the money giving, what we now call the seed sowing. But the truth is that, why don't you see that seed sowing, right, as an expression of honor? We've taught you before, God doesn't multiply money. We've taught all those things, but you can't take it away. That there are certain expressions of honor people have done, and they've gotten certain things, and it was because, it was because of that honor. Look at it in the Bible. It says, what do you want to be done to thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she had no child, and her husband is old. And he said, go and call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according, O gracious Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shall embrace his son. And you say, honor doesn't, you hear people say, use honor to provoke your anointing. My dear, it works so. Don't let anybody put you into any, you know, I always tell you, you can live a Christian, you can be a Christian. And live a Christian life that is void of supernatural experiences. What, more often than not, when you find people in this kind of Christian faith, there are certain things they don't practice. It's the truth. It's the truth. There are certain things you don't practice. You know what it is for a man to say, you see, because of this thing you've done, it says, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son about this season. And she said, nay, my Lord. That, so she even was not even in faith. But even our unbelief did not override the honor that Elisha felt. As I always tell you, honor is key. Don't be known as someone that is honorable. See, there are things you will get your big shoulder, your empty shoulder with your empty head that you are raising up and down. You will get down just because you want to receive something from God's men. Is in the Bible, though. We are all complete. We are complete in Christ. The for in him grace the daughters bodily, and her in him, and he in him. Ha! There's a lot to the Christian faith that you will receive from men only by honor. Are we together? That's why you see me shouting the way I'm shouting. I don't want to build a church. I always tell you, right? My dad built a church in the real sense where people who experience most supernatural healing. The day my mother-in-law saw me, she looked at her daughter, my wife today, 7 years ago, and said, you are not motherless because of his father. Yeah? She looked at me and looked at me and said, I look like a man that healed her years ago. Are we together? Right? I never met her, never seen her. I didn't know what she looked like. But she said, you look like a man. Is your dad Pastor Amos? And I said, that's my father. Right? And she started telling me the story. The man got me healed years ago. That was years ago. I'm talking about years ago. I didn't know Steph. Steph did not know me. We never met ourselves. But you see, there's a thing called, you know, having certain experiences because of certain things you do from men or to men. All together. So, you know, get your empty shoulder down. Be honorable. When you go to a place, right, and they tell you this is the practice of honor, and you want to stay there, and fall in alignment. Just fall in alignment. It's easier for you. Are we together? It's easier for you. Because who ends up losing is you. I can't believe people have a praise God forevermore. Let's leave that. Right? So, and he said, call her. And when she came, he said, and now she said, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. So then he said, this is what you just said, it's past my power. But Elisha said, you see, the way you've honored me. So there's a way you honor a man, for instance, and he says, Kai, the way you've honored me, men will honor you. You see, I've heard men say those things to me, and I'm living in that reality today. Are we together? I've heard men say those things to me. The way you've honored me, men will go out of their way to honor you. I remember there was a prophet who said to me, he said, you will never lack honor from men. Are we together? It's what it is. It's what it is. My dear children, my dear saints, rather, my dear believers, right? Don't be too worked up with the wokeness of this generation. Are we together? Right? Yeah? I'm already starting to prepare myself. Yeah? My children that we have, they must be honorable. Whether you call, if you like, grow up in the city center of the greatest palace in Edinburgh, in Scotland, or in UK, you must be honorable. And your honor will be both of your heart and your act. You know, definitely, you can expect my children. I grew up waking up every morning to lie down and greet my children and my parents. My dear, my children must do it. That's the truth. Anything you call it is in bondage. Go and give birth to your own and let them be free. That's clear. No issue. No problem. You got the point? Yeah. You will never lose from being honorable. All together, right? So even her, she was in unbelief, and she said, this man, what you said, my husband is old, though. I said, don't lie to me, don't tell me anything. I said, I've hosted you, hosted you. And man said, this time next year you have a child. Right? And what happened? Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Gracious Father, you are losing a lot if you don't have supernatural experiences in your life. A man of God walked into a house, right? I'm reading from the Bible to you. And the man, they gave birth to the child at prophecy. Yeah, you know, when you have a child of prophecy, live in prophecies. Wage war with those prophecies in the place of prayer, like I've taught you to do. What happened? The child that was spoken of by the utterances of Elijah, what happened? Yeah, the child came back to life. And the child now started complaining of headache. That's it now. It's not your Bible. It's in your Bible. Temperature was rising, headache. And what happened? You know, you can say, because my pastor has said this to me, this child, you will not die. My pastor has told me that I will not spend my money. You know, you can be that way. But if you say it in the generation, they say you are hero worshipping. I won't allow those who I'm discipling. I was saying something later on before I passed on. The people, I think that's why I went to Steph's mom at the time, right? The people who have benefited more from the miracles of the mighty hand upon the life of my father, Pastor Amos Yusuf, were people who were outside the church. Are we together? Right? I will try my best as a pastor, right, to ensure, right, that I teach you how you should behave to ensure you partake of what God destines for your life. Who loses? You are the one that loses. So these things need to be taught. They need to be said. Are we together? They need to be taught. They need to be said. And we're together. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. So he said, and when he was taking him, she brought him to his mother, verse 20, and sat him on his knee. And the child died. A child that was a child of prophecy died. See what the woman said? And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door. There are days you shut the door because you want to receive something. Yeah, that's how you wage war with words. Altogether, right? And she called, and she shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy reading for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God in Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, and meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child, that child of prophecy? And she answered, it is well. It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to trust her away. That's protocol. That's protocol, officer. Right? And the man of God said, let her alone, For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord had hid it from me and had not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Right? Then he said to Gehazi, get up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if thou salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of it. You know, you should read these things and your body is shaking. That the God of the scriptures can still give you, you are checking ChatGPT. No wonder you are checking ChatGPT. No wonder you are checking what is the statement again? You should read these things and your body is like, is this not God's power? He said, take my staff. So Elisha did not even think of going back there. He just says, take my staff. He says, when anybody greets you, don't answer them. Just be going. You know, you can be so engrossed in words from God through his servant, and you will see deliver to yourself. It takes a woman of faith to know to go back to that man. Mind you, listen to what I'm about to show you. On the minimum, this thing that would have happened would have been nothing less than, it can be up to 3, 4, 5 years. You know why I can say that? First of all, a woman needs 9 months to give birth. If he says at this time of next year, you would have a child, it means that 1 year gone. For the child to be able to go to the farm, to go and complain to the father, are we together? That I have headache, that means the child should be walking or crawling, let's assume. Are we together, right? And years down the line, Elisha remembered the woman. And he said, don't say anything to anybody. He says, go lay my staff upon the face of the child. Oh, gracious father. You see, God's power is readily available to get any strange sickness healed. To get any dead back to life. I believe in God's power. I believe in miracles. Nothing you can tell me. Nothing. You've lost it. He says, go lay my staff upon the face of the child. Oh, you know, sometimes you preach and this thing gets to you. And you're like, how did we get to the faithlessness of this, our world and generation? I don't blame us sometimes. Are we together? Yeah, but the truth is sometimes I blame us very well. What do you feast your heart with? Let me tell you, for her to still believe strongly in the words of the prophets, and that I believe that, oh my goodness. See, so you can say every believer is the same. But it says, if I can see a woman, I remember Archbishop Bessie Idahosa was going out, he was closing from the day at work, all together, and a woman carried the dead child to the church and said, No, they stopped her. No, carry it. Watch. He said, I just want this man to see my child. These are things you fill your heart with. Not people who are jobless, creating YouTube channel, talking about people that are taking fake crutches. What's your business with fake crutches? Are you using crutches? Do you want to buy one? What's your business with that? And the woman said, I just want Papa to see my child. I know that if Papa sees my child, this child will come back to life. And basically, I said he was just so tired and he just tired of going home. I just said, okay, oh yeah, bring it. He didn't even, you know, sometimes you not even feel like, just let, but let it not just be that you did not pray for the person. You know, this was happening here, for instance, yeah? Protocol officers will stop you. That's what they were trying to do now. So it's not today protocol officers started stopping men. Are we together? Right? Right? And the archbishop looked at the child and he laid his hand on the child and just spoke some words and the child jumped back to life. The God of the scriptures is still the same. Dear saints, don't get yourself deceived. Are we together? God is not mocked, right? The God of yesterday is the God of today. He is the God of tomorrow. He is the God that liveth forever. What strange sickness do you have in your body that you think it surpasses God's power? The moment you start thinking that way, the devil is getting you. They are playing ten-ten on your head. They are playing Ludo on your head. They are playing chess on your head. And how does that happen? The things you watch, the things you feed yourself with. You know, for some of you listening to me right now, you need to give yourself a fast for movies. You know, there should be a level you get to such that your mind is already programmed, such that no movie can tilt you from your resolution that God's power is readily available to heal. And altogether, you can be that kind of believer. You can be that kind of Christian. That your mind is set. And before you get there, sometimes I require you to... Some of you, I'm talking to you today, you might need to delete Netflix from your phone, from your iPad, from your television, for 1 year at least. Delete Netflix. You how would you check that GPT? When you are paying for Netflix, you are paying for YouTube, you are paying for Amazon Prime, you are still paying for Apple TV, you are still paying for Sky TV. I'm not surprised now. Every time you check, you go to Netflix, you use 30 minutes, what movie can we watch? I'm not saying it's wrong to say what movie can we watch, but see, let it be that you are looking for a movie to watch when your heart has gone into a place of resolution. And I'm trying to say that even with that, those movies still have a way of tampering, but at least get somewhere. Nothing is really interesting in Netflix today. Anything on Amazon Prime? ChatGPT, what is the most invoked movie now to watch on Amazon Prime? You go there, you go and check a rating, 7.2, rating 6.2. Apple TV, what is one? My dear, you should actually get your phones out of the way. Get your movies out of the way and stay with the word. Yeah? So, it says, go let the child. And the mother, verse 30, of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in thereof and shut the door upon them twain. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth in his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. God's power is working. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And what happened? The child sneezed. Achoo! 7 times, and the child opened up his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elijah came again unto Gilgal, and there was death in the land. And the sons of the prophet were sitting before him. We've talked to you about sons of the prophet, right? Yes, sons of the prophet are those who Elisha now had authority over by extension of taking responsibility of the double portion from Elijah. All together, we have a teaching on that double portion during the honor series. All together, right? So he mentioned the prophet and all of those. So the woman conceived, she bore a son, and the season of the exact words, that's words of wisdom, prophetic words. All together, right? Then what happened? Then Elijah as well now brought the child back to life. That's a miraculous. Jesus did the same as well. All together. Look at what Elijah did in verse 41. Yeah? So Elijah said, came again to Gilgal, and there was a dead in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, right, set on the great pot, right, and set pottage for the son of the prophet. And one of them went into the field to gather herbs and found, you know, wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating the pottage that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. What is that? That's poison in the pot, right? And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring the meal. And he cast it into the pot, right? And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. I went together. I heard a story of a man, Baba Umar Pai. I went together. Kidnappers kidnapped him, right? And they prepared tea for him. I went together. And they put poison in the tea for him to drink. Altogether, and he could sense and descend it, right? And he said, you see, this thing, right? If I drink it, it will nourish my body. Altogether, right? And he converted a poisonous tea to proper tea. He says, this tea, you must only do the work of tea in my body and nothing else. And what happened? Eventually, after I did that, what now happened? The kidnappers started asking him started begging him for him to train them on how to operate in this kind of power. Did it happen in the Bible? Why are you surprised it happened with Umar Pai? Why are you surprised? They are working on you. What it gets? I have to speak that Yoruba. That's what it means. In English, is the language. It means they have gotten you. Why are you doubting it? Is it not in the Bible? Right? So he poured it out, and what happened? They ate it, and no harm happened to them. Praise God forevermore. Look at verse 44. Verse 42. And there came a man of Belshalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. That means he brought a gift, what people call seed offering, right? 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husks thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and shall live thereof. So he set it before them, and they eat, and there was left over according to the word of the Lord. Did Jesus do this? He did it now. Jesus multiplied bread. Are we together? Right? I heard of a story, for instance, Pastor Shegun had a meeting, they had a retreat, right? And they had organized food. I think it was rice in the cooler, right? But the people they had planned for, the people that came, outnumbered the people they planned for. And what happens, right? He asked them to bring the cooler of rice. That's Pastor Shegun now in Kao, right? And he just laid his hands on it, and he said, this rice will be sufficient, or something like that. And they ate the food, right? And there was leftover. Everybody ate belly full. You know what they call belly full? You eat till your belly is full. Are we together? Why are you doubting it? And they have gotten you. They have gotten you. The devil has held your leg. You've listened to what you should not listen to. You've fed on what you should not feed on. Are we together? I want you to listen to me and not just allow me to shout. All my own veins is coming out. It's not like it's the easiest thing for me to do. Listen to me and repent. Are we together? Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. So we've seen Jesus multiplied food. Elisha multiplied food. I just told you Pastor Shegun multiplied food, but you can doubt Pastor Shegun, but you don't doubt Jesus, you don't doubt Elijah. They have gotten you. Gotten you. All together, right? They multiplied food and they all ate it. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. Look at verse 8. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with the horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, right? And thy flesh shall come again to thee, that thou shalt be clean. Did Jesus heal leprosy? Yes. Did Elijah heal leprosy? Yes. Look at verse 14, right? And then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Jesus healed leprosy. And we're together. Elijah did the same. Moses did the same. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. Elijah. Are we together? And some people are shouting, Elijah, he did not know revelation reality. See what he is doing. You headache, you are checking the ChatGPT, and you still have the guts to open YouTube channel to be insulting people that I'm doing miraculous. Eh? Yeah? Look at the 7 King, please don't stress me. Verse 20. Verse 19, and Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Now look at verse 20, right? And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of this man that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? So what happened? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Who dost thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with a sword and with a bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master, and prepare great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, right, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So what's really happening here? Elijah restored the side of Syrian army, basically, right? Look at another Moabite coming back to life. 2 Kings 13, verse 21. 13, verse 21. Praise God forevermore. I was together, right? You know, and if you're a doctor, for instance, you're a pharmacist, a doctor, a nurse, a midwife in the medical profession, you know, your work in itself also has a way of shielding your mind from believing in the miraculous. And it's because you've read. And you know, this world we find ourselves, the more we advance in this life, everything you feed, they have a name for it. Eh? You have this one, they call it this one, they call it Capatonal. They call this one, they say this, or this one is this one. They will give it a name. But guess what? There's a name above every other name. And that name has the ability to supply healing. Hallelujah. Let the name that's predominant on your mind, are we together? Let it be the name of Jesus, the work of his reputation. Let it be the work that his name can do. Let that be what sinks and marinates your heart. Are we together? Yes, it's good for a doctor to tell you that you have this, you have that, you have good, beautiful. But you see, I don't know how, when I even listen to some of these things, I don't learn how to pronounce them. So that I will not be used to saying it. Are we together? I remember a few weeks ago, I was saying to someone, right? They said, oh, what happened? What is that? I said, they call you one name, Mr. Thompson. Why am I saying it? See, if I want, I don't think I'm dumb, right? So if I want to learn what the name is, I can learn it. I don't think I'm stupid. I can learn it. But that's me discarding it. I want to get that. Yeah, you've told me what the name is. Me learning the name does not make me healed. Or does not make who I'm expecting healing for to be healed. Yeah, this one. So when you say you have this one, you say, they say I have this one. You keep saying to your subconscious that I have a way of just saying, oh, they called it this, and I meet something, and that's the end. I don't know how to give details. Yeah, that's me programming my mind in this life that we'll find ourselves. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 20. Are we together? Yeah, I told them a story of a man, William Branham, right? He was in the hospital, right? And what happened, right? He had died. He has confirmed dead by the medics who dies. And somebody had faith enough and said, if my dead body can touch his body, are we together? Do you know how many dead people have come back alive by going to go and lay their dead people, are we together, or strange sicknesses at the grave of, you know, a man, for instance, a man like Benson Idahosa. Altogether, a man like T.L. Osborne, altogether, a man like Ayo Babalola Joseph. Yeah, I remember I have gone to his graveside, Babalola in Ekiti State, F.O. Alaye, right? Gone there, see different people's picture. If they mean you, they carry your picture there, you're in trouble. Take different people's picture, people praying, 247 prayer room, and people receiving healing. Yeah, there's another place, they call it, I think it's Lesekese, like instantly. Yeah, Baba Lesekese, if that's the correct word, right? And you see different stream miracles. Why don't you feed your mind with those kinds of things? You are feasting on people that, I did not have to capture you. Pastor says most miracles in this church are fake. You too, with your internet, yeah, with your data, the money you labor to work for, your salary, you subscribe and you go and watch the video. You're not even ashamed of yourself. You watch the video, then sometimes you go back and you maybe they say something in passing. Hey, what did they say? You rewind. You are not ashamed of yourself. Shame should be catching you. No wonder you're a ChatGPT Christian. I'm speaking hard to you. If you are the one, I don't have anybody in mind. I have all of you in mind. All of you. So anything you have in your mind, that's your business. Shall change. Right? Don't be a ChatGPT Christian. Yeah? Now look at verse 20. And Elisha died. This is a dead man. And they buried him. What again is worse? And they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land and at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, verse 21, as they were burying a man. Oh, gracious Father. Oh, they were burying a man, right? That behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. Praise God. And when the man was let down and he touched the bones of Elisha, Bible says he revived and stood up on his feet. Are we together? You see, in this life, what impact do you want to leave for your coming generation? What do you want your children to say about you? The richest man in the world or a man that changed your city? Or a man that changed his nation, or a man that changed his colleagues. What do you want people to say about you? It's up to you to choose. Are we together? It's up to you to choose. You know, in life, you can have a balance to life and ensure that your emphasis is not any other thing. Are we together? But your ministry and your impact for Jesus in the earth. Let me tell you, yeah, you are in the wrong to assume that any other thing in this world can take first place in your life. Any other thing, your child, your son, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your best friend, you are in the wrong to think that way. No matter who it is, nobody can come before Jesus in my life. Nobody. It's not possible. That does not mean I'm stupid. That does not mean I'm irresponsible. I believe I'm very responsible to a very large extent. Trust me when I say that, right? I believe I'm very, very responsible. Yeah, but you see, nothing else. It is Jesus first place. Altogether, let it be said of me when I leave this earth that he served Jesus till his last breath. and he took care of his family, and he did that, and he had that business. But it's that he served Jesus is the first thing. And he had real estate. He had houses here and there. He bought houses. Yeah, beautiful. But it's that he served Jesus. You know, you can make up your mind to start living that kind of life. Are we together? Right? That what you'll be known for is mighty miracles, signs and wonders, the workings of God's spirit in the earth. You find yourself in trouble situation. People know that Joshua cannot shake. He doesn't shake. It's a slant you can have. And you only can get there intentionally by being deliberate. Don't forget, God of scriptures is the same God today. The same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. Glory to God forevermore. Let's look at a few examples before we close up today. And I'll just, you know, hopefully I've spoken hard to you today, right? And you act on it, right? So what did you say about signs? So what did we look at in Elijah's ministry? Signs and wonders. Point us to what? The great healing of what? Reconciliation. The great healing of what? Look at Mark 5. Excuse me. God of the scriptures say, remains the same. Same who said to Philip, go join the chariot. He still speaks today. Look at Mark 5 and look at verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and they marveled. And when Jesus had passed again over the sheep onto the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter died. That's the one Tabitha later healed in chapter 5. At the point of death, I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, right, and had suffered many things of a physician, right, and had spent all that she had. Yesterday, we looked at Leviticus 13, right, and Leviticus, I think it was 21, right, looked at the instructions that were given to people who had issues of blood. Remember that teaching yesterday, right? Remember that teaching yesterday? We saw that yesterday. I think that was in Luke. Right, so what now happened? What now? Remember, we saw the instructions that were given. Right, a woman like that, you need to, you know, sanitize yourself 7 days. You have to bath every evening. You have to ensure that, you know, it's right. There was something that even had to do with burning of clothing materials that those blood to touch. So this woman who had this, so it means that this miracle, even though it seems like a very insignificant thing, it was a mighty big deal. Are we together? All right. So what happened? She now touched. And straight away, it says, look at 27. And when she had heard Jesus came, when she had heard of Jesus, that means she heard the right things, right? All right. She came and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Are we together? And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Are we together? Turned him again into the presence and said, who touched me? Disciples, just like Gehazi. Say, I was wrong with you now. Can't you see how many people are here? I ask you who touched you. But the woman, verse 3, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done, came and fell down before him and told him of the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Are we together? Right? Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Right? Remember, you don't touch a woman. A woman does not touch someone that has that blood discharge and everything under the law. It's a tradition that was carried. But what? Guess what? She heard what Jesus taught, what Jesus teach. Jesus was teaching forgiveness of sins, and he was known as somebody who went around what? Doing good. And what happened? She came behind and Jesus said, who touched my clothes? Right? Yeah. So she was already healed in verse 29. But look at 34. It says, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. We saw in Luke 17 and Luke 5 yesterday, I think at Luke 17 as well, lepers were outcast. Are we together? Those with leprosy were treated as outcasts. Yeah, but he allowed them to touch him, right? To bring, you know, miracles into their lives. Now look at chapter, let me end in Luke 5:20 for today. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. probably tomorrow, but we have a healing meeting tomorrow, okay? Right? So we'll probably just spend 15 minutes praying tomorrow, 15 minutes singing tomorrow, right? And I'll just take over from the Nigerian church or from the UK church, right? The Nigerian church as well, you can do the same as well. Just ensure that healing is ministered through Pastor Timmy in the church in Nigeria there. And we just trust God's spirit and trust God's power that men are made whole and men are made alive and strange sicknesses out of people's body in the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew and Luke's gospel, 5:20. He says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, men, their sins are forgiven thee. We saw this yesterday. Look at 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easy to say thy sins is forgiven, right, or to say rise up and walk? But he now says in 24, my emphasis, that ye may know that the Son of Man had power upon the earth to forgive sins. Altogether. So it means that miracles and signs and wonders is to show that God has the power to forgive sins. Altogether. God has the power to forgive sins. So what does a believer need to ensure they keep doing for themselves? Don't forget, let's end in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Then we end in Mark 11 finally. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now the question is, how do you cast down imaginations? You cast down imaginations using your words. Altogether, God's power is working. Let that be your confession every time. God's power is working. They tell you that. No, God's power is working. Oh, I believe that God's power is working. I believe in the mighty power of God. I believe in the mighty hands of the Lord. God's power is working. God's power is working. No shaking. That's like my slang. God's power is working. The power of God is at work. God's power is working. No shaking. Altogether, God's power is working. I believe strongly in that. Right? So casting down imaginations and every high thing. Let me tell you, write this in your notes. You don't cast down imaginations or tackle bad imaginations with imagination. All together. You don't tackle imaginations with imaginations. You tackle imaginations with the word of faith. All together. You use the words of faith, fill your heart with words of faith, and use the words of faith to tackle imaginations. Praise God forevermore. He says, casting the imaginations to every high thing, I exhort yourself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought. How do you bring into captivity every thought? By speaking. Mark 11. Look at Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11:22. How do we have a faith in a meeting without going to Mark 11:23? Praise God, right? Look at verse 20. And in the morning, look at verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went in the temple and began to cast out them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for who? For all people, Isaiah, right? But ye have made a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when it was evening, he went out of the city. Now look at verse 20. And the morning as they passed, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. I went together. Say, so did the words of Jesus, did the words of Elisha affect water? Non-living thing, yes. Remember now, yes now, salt. Remember now, salt and crows and poured at the source and the water changed. Is that correct? Yeah. Look at this. And in the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up in the roots. Did the words of Jesus affect the fig tree? Yes. Don't forget, before you understand what is happening here, you must have read verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree afar of having leaves. He came. You know, scholars talk about how fig trees, when that's not their season, why was Jesus expecting them, different things. But look at what he's teaching there, right? It's just the same way Elijah would ask for a bowl of salted water to heal water. That means you can speak to non-living things and they respond. Is that correct? Okay. And seeing a fig tree afar of having leaves, he came. If haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. In fact, it's written in scriptures. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. Right? And his disciples heard it. Yeah? What was Jesus teaching there? Right? Look at what Jesus was teaching. Watch. Oh. And the morning came in verse 20, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. What did Jesus say? No one eats of thee. What happened? Disciples heard it. What happened? Jesus moved on. Okay? In the morning, as I passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up in the roots. And Peter calling to remember and saying unto him, Master, 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 behold, the fig tree that thou cursed, now, who referred to it as cursed, Peter, okay, is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. So what was Jesus using the fig tree to teach? Faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever to say. So it means that you can have what you say. Listen to what it says there. It says, for verily I say, how many says do you have there? Look at it very well. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So, four sayings, right, on the matter of mountains being cast into the seas. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things he desire, when you pray, believe that he receives them. These were the words that Brother Kenneth Hagin on the hospital bed at age 17, at the point of death, heard and revitalized his body back to normal, back to life, and he lived for an extra probably 60 years more than that. After then, altogether. Then, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against an any, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you. A lot of theology around that. Right? But I hope you can see that faith is spoken. Faith is spoken. How do I know you are a man of faith? I see your words. I see your words. I see your words. Jesus in the boat, the storm was raging. And Jesus says, peace be still. Are we together? Right? Peace be still. Your words in the midst of difficulties expresses to me how much you've built faith on your inside. Are we together? Are we together? So, dear saints, I've used this last few days to let you know that you hinge your understanding of God's faithfulness on the resurrection of Jesus. And in that resurrection, there are signs and wonders and miracles and healings that can be received from that. Being a pleasure and delight to bring God's word your way today. Thank you for lending me your ears the past 6 days. Hopefully you've listened and you followed all through. And you've listened and followed all through without having, you know, getting distracted. Right? If you've missed any day, I would admonish you. Go back, listen. I would mention everyone, obviously. Go back, listen from the beginning. Listen all through again. And particularly, listen to the days that you've missed and ensure that you get your head into the space, you know, to understand and to relate to the things that we said. Also, I give certain instructions in this meeting, okay? Right? I give certain scoldings. I was together and brought certain corrections your way. Don't let it just be that I shouted for nothing. Act on it. Act on it. Now, it might not change overnight, but start making the right steps. Delete some Netflix apps on your phone. Stop paying for Amazon Prime. Stop paying for Apple TV. Stop paying for, at least do it 1 year. I work together and you see how your faith will be. Now, it's one thing to stop paying for those things. It's another thing for you to use the time you would have used for those things to do something about feeding in the world. Well, I love you all so dearly. Trusting God that this has been a blessing to you. Tomorrow, we'll just come, teach a few things about, you know, the word of faith as well, you know, and just minister to ourselves in local assembly, trusting God for God's mighty power, strange sicknesses, you know, healed, you know, strange sicknesses that have already been healed, you know, certified, completed, you know, and perfected by the power of the blood of Jesus. I love you all so dearly. I love you so dearly. I love you so dearly. Pick these words and run with them, and I'll see you tomorrow.